From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news. Under the first draft of a state redistricting plan released late Thursday, Southeast Alaska keeps all four of its current House seats, despite losing population in most of those constituencies since 2010. A panel is redrawing legislative districts using recent census figures. It's a once-in-a-decade exercise that sets the boundaries of political constituencies. A decade ago, Southeast lost a Senate and House seat when the districts were redrawn due to population shifts. Robert Venables of Southeast Conference, that's a nonpartisan civic and business organization, says that's largely due to faster growth in the rail belt, which can shift political clout to the road system.
There's always a concern that Southeast as a region is not able to grow economically, and especially at the rate that the Mat-Su area is. And so even if we didn't lose population, which we are, we can't keep up with the pace that they are increasing.
There would be some major reshuffling in 2022. The new legislative maps would create a largely rural coastal House district from Yakutat down south along the outer coast to Sitka, Prince of Wales Island, and all the way down to Hyder on the Canadian border. Ketchikan's House district would be split with areas south of the city limits joined up with this 600-odd-mile-long coastal district, largely represented now by Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins. It's unclear from the level of detail provided which district Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez's residence would fall and whether he'd be competing with a Sitka Democrat in the 2022 legislative election. Robert Venables says the reshuffling sometimes affects sitting lawmakers.
We've seen the lines drawn where the incumbent is now in a different district and has to run against that incumbent or actually move addresses, which we've seen historically happen a couple times.
The areas lost by Ketchikan's current district includes parts of Prince of Wales and Metlakatla, which would be linked with the outer coast. The capital, Juneau, keeps its two Democrat-held House seats with a reshuffling that would remove Haines and Skagway from Juneau's Democrat-leaning downtown areas. Instead, the Upper Lynn Canal would be joined with Juneau's Republican-leaning Mendenhall Valley. Southeast's two incumbent senators, Bert Stedman and Jesse Keel, would be largely unaffected, and their residences would still remain within the new boundaries. Now that the new maps have been released, the Alaska Redistricting Board will take public input before beginning a series of statewide meetings. The Redistricting Board, which is appointed by all three branches of government, is working against a November 10th deadline to finalize the maps. But that may not be the end of the line. Redistricting carries implications for political clout, and the final boundaries often end up decided in court. Wrangell's newspaper is having a changing of the guard. As KSTK's Sage Smiley reports, the Wrangell Sentinel is bringing on a new reporter to take over the weekly production of Alaska's oldest continuously published newspaper.
For 3 years, red-bearded Caleb Vierkant was the public face of the Wrangell Sentinel. The 20-something Texan was often spotted around town with a camera, wearing a Hawaiian print shirt and walking his friendly mutt, Sky.
Good girl.
Now, both man and dog have made their way back to Texas. Vierkant says he was traveling light on his way back down south.
Came here with, if I'm remembering right, 4 suitcases and the dog. And I'm also leaving with 4 suitcases and a dog.
And, of course, he left with the Southeast wet weather staple.
A pair of extra tufts.
Vierkant adds with a laugh that he doesn't know when he'll wear those tufts in Texas, but he says he was ready for a new chapter.
And I was already starting to feel like it was time for me to move on, try something new, and then Larry told me that he was bringing in a new reporter, and so things just kind of lined up at the same time by happy coincidence.
Vierkant says he doesn't quite know what's next. He's been sending his resumes far and wide.
It's usually, thank you for your application, you're very qualified, but we decided to either hire internally or go with a different candidate, which is very polite code for, we're not willing to wait for you to move from an island in Alaska.
Vierkant says he'll miss pretty much everything about living on the rock, from the people, to the proximity to the Tongass National Forest, to the abundance of seafood. What he won't miss, though?
$8 a gallon for milk. That's not fair.
Vierkant says he's proud to say that he wasn't just the Sentinel reporter for a while, but that he was a part of the community for a while, too.
I would say I'm proudest of the fact that, at least to my knowledge, nobody is happy to see me leave. I think I did a pretty good job being a reporter and a member of this community. I feel like, you know, I did that balancing act pretty well of, you know, being an objective reporter and also someone who wants to see this community succeed and get along with my neighbors. I think I pulled that off pretty well. So I'm just proud to say that I was part of this community for a while.
Vierkant's red Hawaiian print shirt now hangs on a deer mount in Nick's Place Pizza Restaurant, a testament to his 3-year legacy.
I hope everybody gives the new reporter at the Wrangell Sentinel a chance, and they keep reading and supporting their local paper.
That new writer hails from Lodi, like in the CCR song. Mark Lutz arrived last month on the ferry with his wife, 4 cats, a U-Haul, and a new 4-wheel drive.
I had a Prius, and I traded that in for a Chevy Traverse only because Prius really wasn't going to cut it up here. Plus, I had a bunch of stuff to haul.
Although tall, dark-haired, bespectacled Lutz was based in Lodi, since 2018 he'd worked as the editor of the Calaveras Enterprise in the Sierra foothills between Yosemite and Lake Tahoe. It was a 45-minute drive each way. He says he much prefers commuting within Wrangell.
It takes me 5 minutes to walk downtown.
While it wasn't on an island, Lutz says he did have a small-town upbringing.
I was born and raised in the northern central valley of California, very rural, the type to play in the streets and on the railroad tracks and all of that stuff.
Lutz has worked a vast swath of newspaper jobs, from ad design to lifestyle editor to general assignment reporter, but he got his start in the business as a cartoonist.
Started drawing when I was 9, said I was going to be a cartoonist when I grew up, that's what I became, and got into the newspaper business by way of doing that.
After years in the newspaper business in California and with his 3 kids grown, Lutz says he and his wife of 20 years, Melinda, were looking for a change. After visiting Wrangell this summer and discussing details with the Sentinel's owner and publisher Larry Persily, Lutz says he'd fallen in love with Wrangell and was ready to move here. He says he's excited to learn about aspects of Wrangell life he doesn't know much about, like the fishing industry. Eventually, his goal is to design the week's paper from inside the Wrangell office, rather than rely on out-of-town page designers.
Right now, I'm still kind of integrating and working on stories and things like that, so I haven't started actually producing the pages. That'll come within a few weeks. But when that happens, then I'll probably make my own little touches to it, and, you know, kind of. You'll start to see me throughout the pages, is what I'm trying to say.
At some point, he says, that might even mean local cartoons.
There's plenty around here that could inspire who knows what.
And there's a lot of exciting life to be lived and reported on a little Alaska island.
I always think back to the quote from Jaws that it's only an island if you look at it from the water.
When he's not out tracking down stories, Mark Lutz will be in the Sentinel's newsroom at 205 Front Street. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Eagle River Republican Senator Laura Reinbold has been excused from attending Senate floor sessions starting this weekend and through next January. She has been banned from flying on Alaska Airlines for refusing to wear a face mask and is arguing that she doesn't have an alternative way of getting back and forth to Juneau. On Thursday, she asked her fellow lawmakers to be excused.
I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the Senate September 11th through January 15th because there's no airline other than Alaska Airlines that flies into Juneau during that period that I'm aware of. The political ban is still in place as long as Biden's illegitimate mask mandate is in place.
In general, legislators ask to be excused when they have another commitment that prevents them from attending floor sessions. Reinbold was barred from the Capitol, from most of the Capitol briefly during the regular session for not wearing a mask and refusing to get tested for COVID-19. She eventually started to comply with the rules. The special session must end by Tuesday, and no other special sessions have been announced before the regular session begins in January. The number of Alaskans hospitalized with COVID-19 reached 206 on Thursday, a new high and a string of record totals this week, the state reports. There were also 846 new virus cases, including non-residents. That's among the highest daily case totals since the state began monitoring the virus. Throughout the day on Thursday, hospitals in Anchorage, Fairbanks, the Mat-Su, and the Kenai Peninsula reported that ICUs were either full or near capacity. According to the New York Times, Alaska ranked among the top five states in the U.S. for the rate of positive cases per 100,000 people and the increase in hospitalizations over the last few weeks.